You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles,
Series 5, Episode 2.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 14th of October, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory, wow, head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
Hello,
and welcome again to the new series of the Geekly Chronicles.
Episode 2.
I know, we survived episode 1 and we are here yet again.
Well, we're not all here.
That's very true. This week we're a presenter down as Kez is currently off enjoying some half-decent weather in sunny Hawaii.
However, we will be speaking to Kez, probably live from a beach, no doubt, later in tonight's show.
That is right. But what a show we've got for you in the week that Norway's Prime Minister was caught playing Pokemon Go in Parliament.
And in the week that you can now buy a pub with a waterfall attached. The waterfall where Kevin Costner got naked in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
And it's also a week in which you can get presidential toilet paper. No, that's not toilet paper fit for a president. It's toilet paper with the faces of US presidential candidates on it.
Not only that, but from this week, you could also rent a Super Mario-themed room in Lisbon, Portugal on Airbnb.
Oh my gosh. In all of those weeks, it's time for the Geekly Chronicles. And we've got all of your favourite features tonight, including Would You Fund It, The Tumble Fumble, and another winning word.
Kez and I have also prepared a report from fans at the Star Trek convention in Birmingham that we attended last weekend. There will also be a twist on our usual game of geeks,
yes,
where Kez will be asking the questions all the way from Hawaii.
Oh, gosh. Don't know how I feel about that.
Mm.
I've just got my position of power as quizmaster.
And it's gone.
And it's gone.
We're confusing our listeners.
I know.
Just already.
Oh,
what are we like?
Yes, what are we like indeed? And later in the show, rather excitingly, we'll be speaking to brand new egghead Beth McClure Webster. And if you've no idea what an egghead is, we'll be clearing that one up for you as well.
Aren't we helpful? Yes. We will, of course, be playing your requests, so do send those in. Tweet us at GKLYCO or drop us a message in our chat room.
Yeah, it's also nice to have you in the chat room just to generally hang out, get involved with the show. So, let's get cracking. We'll be starting off our winning words competition in just a moment. But first, here's a song that I think accurately sums up today's show.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. We know what you did last summer, and honestly, we're impressed.
So, Chris, how do you turn a duck into a jazz artist?
I have no idea, Catherine.
You put it in the microwave until it's Bill Withers.
Oh, dear. Well, at least we've got that out the way early in the show.
Hey, that is one of my all-time favourite jokes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time I heard that, I laughed, even though I didn't know who Bill Withers was at the time.
Oh, dear.
That's true. I just instinctively knew it was hilarious. Anyway.
Yeah, moving on.
It's competition time.
It is.
In our last show, we launched the Winning Words competition, in which you can win a bundle of Geekly merch just by listening out for a winning word.
Ooh, yes. We did. Last time, the winning word was phalange, and Elaine called in and won herself a stylish Geekly tote bag, among other fun Geekly items. We have retweeted a picture of Elaine's cat investigating the Geekly tote bag.
That was so cute.
And there was also a bonus prize from Terence Eden's Five of Fun Tumblr.
That's right. She won a set of Tetris fridge magnets, of which I would be incredibly jealous if I didn't already own a set.
Yeah, indeed. But that was last time, and this time we need a new word, mainly because I've already said phalange a grand total of twice now. And of course, a new mystery prize.
We'll be revealing that prize a little later in the show, but first, let's get us a word.
This week's winning word is Cyclops.
There you go. That's the word. So remember, if you hear any of us say the winning word at any point in the show, except Hattie, obviously, she doesn't count, give us a call The numbers are on our website. And if you're first, you could be in with a shot of winning a Geekly-themed bundle of joy.
Here's Hattie with the details.
If you hear the winning word, give us a call in the UK on 020 3389 6245 or in the US on 415 287 9705. You might just win something. Calls cost the standard geographic rate from mobiles and BT landlines. Other networks may vary and international calls will cost significantly more. Lines close at the end of the show. Please do not try to enter if you are listening back to the podcast as the competition has closed, but you may still be charged. For full terms or to find another regional number, visit gkly.co/win.
And lines open now. Listen out for the winning word, and if you hear it, give us a ring. All the details are on the website. We're going to play another song for you. Remember to keep getting those requests in. You can tweet us at GKLYCO on Twitter or appear in our chat room, the little box on the website, or the GKLY channel on Freenode. And send us a request. Tell us what you would like to hear. For now, here's that new 21 Pilots song that everyone's talking about.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Would You Fund It time?
Yes, it is. Now, last time, for those of you that don't know, Would You Fund It is our feature where we pitch ideas to you, the listeners, and you tell us whether or not you would fund it.
It's like crowdfunding without the funding or the crowd.
Basically, yeah. You don't have to actually give us your money, but if you did, would you? For this idea, yeah.
It's so clear, it's impressive.
Yeah. We don't like to confuse our listeners at all. It's all good. So, last time, you pitched the idea of Astley's BAPS, which got funded with 100% of the vote. Impressive.
Why, thank you. I did. I like to think people saw the potential of actually being able to, you know, Rickroll people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roll. I get it. I see what you're doing there. But that, of course, puts you in the lead at the start of this series and means it's the next person's go to pitch an idea. So, whose turn is it this week?
This week, it's Chris's pitch.
Yes, it is. I'm not really sure why I
from
asked.
From the massive pool of people that we have to choose from.
Yes. I'm not really sure why I asked. I don't know. Radio excitement and mystery. Whatnot.
And
anyway. So, my idea is, you know that you can go to the Crystal Maze experience now in London.
Yeah.
And run around that wonderful quiz show. Well, game show, not quiz show. There's no quiz involved. And experience it for yourself. I wondered about other things that would translate well into like a real world experience sort of thing where you could go and
sort of
live
give
something
else that you could give the kind of laser tag treatment.
Exactly. It's like laser tag, that sort of running around making a fool of yourself, having enormous fun thing. So I was wondering what to turn into an experience, and it hit me. The perfect video game that you could possibly have as a real world thing you can go and visit. Shall we have a listen?
Let's.
Do you love Pac-Man? Do you feel restricted by your screen? Do you wish you could be more round and yellow?
It sure gets lonely playing Pac-Man all day.
Join us in our 32,000 square foot immersive real-life Pac-Man experience where you can collect balls, run from ghosts, and wear a skin-tight yellow unitard with up to 7 friends.
I feel like a yellow ninja sneaking around this maze.
Be pursued by our real-life Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Clyde as you charge around our maze collecting pack dots in your pack.
You should have seen that ghost face when I slapped a cherry on it.
Play Pac-Man for real. Get your tickets on our website now. Live action Pac-Man.
Nice.
I think it's got potential. I think running around a darkened maze, being chased by ghosts, and collecting balls is good. It would be fun.
So, like, you have kind of scare actors and stuff that work at theme parks at Halloween. I suppose you kind of get those in to kind
ghost
of play
actors.
The ghosts and things and be ghost actors. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, something like that. It reminds me of a game I have actually played. In Bristol, where I'm originally from, there's a festival called the Interesting Games Festival, or IGFest. And there was this game called Arcade Anarchy. Wow. Where you're split into, I think, three or four teams of about four or five people, and you are handed a giant tetromino. And then your task is to run from one end of the street to the other, and you have to dodge video game characters who are getting in your way. So there was like a Donkey Kong, a Pac-Man, a Space Invader, that sort of thing, a Mario, to get to a giant Tetris grid at the bottom of the street and place your tetromino. And the first team to get to fill in the entire grid wins.
Okay.
I realise how odd that sounds now that I describe it, but yeah, that was fun. And I feel like the sort of excitement of retro gaming can apply to a Pac-Man experience. Yeah.
Okay.
So, if you think the live-action Pac-Man experience should exist, then do let us know.
Vote now at gkly.co/fundit.
Yes, you do. And we'll be checking back with the results from Would You Fund It a bit later in the show. We'll give you a little reminder and see how it's doing. You got 100% last episode.
I
so
did.
I've got a hard act to follow.
Yep, the bar has been set.
Yep. It's up here.
The gauntlet has been...
That doesn't work on radio.
Down.
It's high.
Yep.
The gauntlet was thrown down. I've been slapped in the face by the glove. And now I have to duel.
Mm-hmm. So if you like the sound of live-action Pac-Man, go vote now.
And I mean, who doesn't? You can also head over to our Twitter account to vote, because we have also tweeted a poll.
Nice.
So, yeah. In a moment, we'll be having a look at the weirder of the news stories that have happened this week.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Catherine, will you be making an offer on the Green Dragon pub with the Kevin Costner waterfall?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if it was somewhere that Alan Rickman had gotten naked, I'd be meeting with my bank manager instead of being here. But you know, as it is, I'm not that bothered.
Of course.
I could have a gallon of Alan.
A gallon of Alan. Nice. I like that. How could I forget your burning love of Alan Rickman, especially...
I don't know if it burns.
Well...
It's never caused me any discomfort.
especially after your pitch of the Rickman factor for Would You Fund It last series. I mean, that was quite evident, really, that your Alan Rickman desire
was
strong.
Yeah, I think I stand in history as the most vehemently unfunded Would You Fund It.
Yes. I think it was. I'm going to actually check on the results just for embarrassment purposes.
Okay, great. Yeah. I think it was a resounding do not fund.
That's a 100%er you had Catherine.
Yeah.
That is 100%.
And not in the same way that Ashley's Baps was 100%er.
Yeah, not in the fun way.
No. But I do know that you can't wait to get your hands on some of that presidential toilet paper.
Indeed. So this is the toilet paper that has either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton's face on it.
I'm guessing you get to choose which one you use.
I hope so. I mean, I think I'd enjoy trying to give Donald a newer, sort of even sillier hairstyle.
Is that even possible?
I mean, maybe.
You know, Donald Trump looks like the sort of person that, you know, styles their hair every morning using something like a candy floss machine. a candy floss machine.
Yeah, I could see that. It's just like a dip and swoosh.
Or a cotton candy machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always thought like maybe Donald Trump sprays his hair on out of a can every morning.
like spray cheese.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I think I could give it a pretty good go, you know, give him a quiff sort of adjustment technique. That's a bit gross when you think about it, but I'd give it a try.
Anyway, I zoned out there. Yeah, you could probably give it a good go. I mean, you know, anything is going to look weird.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned it, a role that had kind of a surprise president on each sheet might be good.
How do you mean? Like
a different president on each sheet.
Yeah.
So you never knew who you were going to get.
Oh, yeah. That could be quite
fun. Then you
fun.
Could choose, you know, do I want to sneeze in it? Or...
yeah, what do I want to do with this piece of
this
paper
yeah.
based on the president that is on it?
yeah, I'll leave that there.
Okay, wonderful.
How about Norway's Prime Minister then playing Pokemon Go in Parliament?
Yeah, I know. What's up with that? I understand that it's an addictive game and everything, and I've been having fun playing it myself. But you shouldn't really be playing it in Parliament, should you? I mean, what sort of elected politician would seriously waste time with something so frivolous?
But let me, Mr. Speaker, be very fair to the Right Honourable Gentleman. I followed very carefully his interview on Desert Island Discs, and I think it's fair to say he's no longer a follower of Marx. He's loving Engels instead.
Former Prime Minister David Cameron there.
I have to say, I think Pokemon Go addiction would go that far. I think my Pokemon addiction would go that far.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to resist, you know, catching a Pidgey in the back benches.
Catching a Pidgey in the back benches. Now there's a thought for you. Yeah, I mean, there's a gym quite close to here where we make this show. And the amount of production meetings that have been interrupted by, oh, the gym is blue, let's go take it down.
Or build it up.
I mean, or build it up. Yeah, that's true. If it's blue, we wanna
go Team Mystic.
Indeed. Other Pokemon Go teams are available.
It's important stuff.
I don't know. I think our elected representatives, and particularly the leader of a country, should be focusing more on policy than Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to resist playing Pokemon while I drive, you know, I think maybe she should, you know, while she runs.
Yeah, imagine
actually in the, you know, the actual process of running the country, maybe.
There's that pop-up that comes up on Pokemon Go, isn't there? When you go above like a certain number of miles per hour, you get that pop-up that's like, hey, you should not play Pokemon Go while driving. Maybe.
Do you think it should be able to sense when you're actually in a sort of a parliamentary chamber?
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to be playing Pokemon here?
Do not play Pokemon Go while you are influencing policy. I've noticed that Kez has just put in the chat room Team Instinct for the win. Sadly, me and you, Catherine, don't know what we're talking about, to which I say, two against one, sucker. But there seems to be quite a lot of love for the whole Team Instinct situation in the chat room. No one from Team Valor, though.
No. I don't know, maybe we don't have a Valor audience.
Yeah. Although, that does give me an idea. Why not do elections by way of Pokemon Go teams? Hear me out. We've got, like, the three colours, red, blue, yellow, for the main parties in this country.
Ooh.
Elections by way of, like, number of gyms.
That's our Would You Fund It? Right there.
Well,
is that going to be on the next pitch? Sort of
that'll be on the
three
next
episodes
show.
Time.
Yeah, my next pitch may well be Pokemon Go elections. You heard it here first. But remember, that's not my pitch today. You can vote on my pitch today, which was the Pac-Man thing, at gkly.co/fundit. And you'll find links to all of the news stories that we've been talking about on our Twitter account, at gklyco.
You will. Coming up next, we'll be catching up with Kez, who is no doubt lounging in the shade of a volcano somewhere.
Indeed. Don't forget to keep sending your requests in. Join our chat room, the GKLY channel on Freenode, or you can use the chat box on the website, or tweet them to us at GKLYCO. But speaking of requests, here's one right now. I have no idea what it is, and I'm slightly weirded out by the title, but... And apparently it doesn't want to play, so I might have to play something slightly more not... Tell you what, let's play a song that is relevant to Kez being in Hawaii. That would be a fun one, wouldn't it?
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Joining us on the line should be, live all the way from 11 hours in the past, should be Kez. Hello?
Crossing fingers.
Yep, crossing fingers. I mean, 11 hours is a long time. Hello. There we go.
Yay.
There you go.
Knew you'd be there.
Yes. So.
Yep, here I am. Hello from the past.
How is it back there?
Sunnier in the past than you led me to believe.
Ooh,
Yeah, it's sort of dark here.
In the future.
The future is a dark place.
Oh.
So, you know, you've got that look to look forward to. Which
how
is
exciting.
Nice. Yes. How's Hawaii?
Oh, you know, it's not bad. It's currently... what's the temperature in the UK right now?
Oh, God.
I don't know. Earlier this afternoon, it was sort of 13 degrees.
Right. So it's at least double that here.
Right now, it's 11 degrees outside.
Okay.
11 degrees outside. Okay. I'm basically at three times that temperature right now.
Ooh, toasty.
Wow. Crikey.
Not too humid, though, and there's a lovely breeze. I mean, I hadn't quite realised how small the Hawaiian Islands are. I mean, Hawaii is not just one island. It's a collection of a few islands. And I'm on one of the smaller ones, and it's brilliant. I mean, later on, I'm going to a party on the other side of the island, and it's almost walkable. But there's a lovely breeze that kind of comes in from the ocean and off out to the ocean the other side and just keeps flowing over this island. So it's warm, but it's quite beautiful.
Oh, that sounds sort of delicious. I would describe that.
Delicious.
Hawaii is a US state, but this is very different. It's my first time here. It's very different to anywhere else in the world that I've been. It's very different to the rest of the US as well. They have different cuisine, different culture. They have a different language. It's very much untouched by the rest of the US. I mean, it's technically it's closer to Australia and to Japan than it is to the US, but it's absolutely beautiful. And I've been collecting a few things to tell you about that are not necessarily unique to Hawaii, but part of Hawaiian culture. So let me share those with you.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead.
First off, I discovered this amazing thing called shaved ice.
Right.
Okay.
It's
Does ice
not
grow
ice
hair?
Cream. And it's not a slush puppy or a slushy, but it's...
Other brands of slush-based drink are available.
Yeah, but it's incredible. It's like a combination of the two, and you get it in on a plate, and it's like a mound of ice, but they've put fresh fruit juice on it, but different bits of fruit juice. Oh, it's just incredible. Like, words can't describe it. It is absolutely amazing. And I know that this is radio, so words have to describe it.
Yeah.
But
we generally are bad at that with
it's
food.
It's not solid ice because it's shaved. So you eat it with a spoon and, you know, before it gets
thing?
Slushy. And it's just absolutely incredible. And it's so cooling. I came over here to be with some friends for a wedding, and they had a shaved ice station at their wedding yesterday. So I naturally took it upon myself to sit there and sample all of the flavors they had.
Of course.
And I can honestly tell you that the combination of lemon, lime, guava, and strawberry with fresh strawberries on the top is just out of this world.
That sounds pretty special.
But everything here is fresh fruit, and a lot of the fruit is grown locally. And if it's not fresh fruit, it's sushi and it's fresh fish, a huge kind of Japanese influence on the cuisine and culture. But it's all fresh. I mean, I had some sushi yesterday that was made in front of me, and it was rolled in front of me about 30 yards away from where the fish was actually caught that morning. Just incredible kind of culture here for the food.
I'm surprised they don't have like a conveyor belt sort of thing, like you
no,
know
no,
yeah,
no.
sushi do.
Unfortunately, not
the
a lot of these
straight.
Places. Like in the UK, we would have like a pop-up donut stand or maybe some fresh cockles on a beach. Here they have like pop-up sushi people that just have like a table and a sushi mat and will just make you sushi from fish they've caught that morning.
This sounds like my kind of place.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. But it's what is also incredible is that it's not just there's such a mishmash of cultures of influence. So there's a lot of kind of traditional Hawaiian stuff. The fruit juice I'm obsessed with is guava and strawberry juice, and it's incredible. But bizarrely, there's even European influences here as well. So one of the most popular breakfast items, and I have it here, is called a malasada. Which
right.
is like a fancy donut, but there is a world famous bakery called Leonard's Bakery, and there is one. They have one shop here in Hawaii, and people travel from all over the world to try things at Leonard's Bakery. And I here bought yesterday, ready for me to try on the show, a malasada, and it's a hot donut with a filling inside, and this one's kind of a dark chocolatey filling, but it's got a sweet and sour sugar on the top.
Okay, interesting.
And it's just absolutely incredible. I'm just going to bite into it now.
Oh. Bite away.
Oh, absolutely amazing.
The benefit of this food segment is that Catherine and I don't currently have our mouths full, so we can fill for you.
It's incredible. I would bring some back to the studio with me, but there are very strict laws here on putting food in your luggage. So I can't, but I might see if I can import some of that fruit juice because it's amazing. But yes, I would say Hawaiian culture is quite agreeing with me. I might just stay out here if you two fancy relocating the studio.
Bring it out very, very slowly in hand
luggage.
It's
an incredible commute.
Well, I've got, I've got a beach right in front of me and I look to the left and there's an active volcano. We have our own secret volcano lair.
Yeah, but then if the volcano goes off, we're pretty stuffed.
Yeah, but then so's everyone in this region, so we wouldn't exactly be dealing with it on our own.
Well, yeah, but the shared misery of dying in fiery ash is not as comforting as in other situations.
Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah.
There's misery left.
At least in 100 years' time, Bastille might write a song about us.
This is true. So, Super Mario being Airbnb, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I love the idea. I've been staying in a hotel since I got here. I would have loved to have stayed in an Airbnb somewhere more authentic, but it's a very, very popular island to stay on. So as much as, you know, turn down service and fresh towels is nice, I would love to stay in a Mario-themed Airbnb. It would just appeal to my nerdy side. And if they had it right here on the beach as well, that'd be amazing.
Unfortunately, it's in Lisbon, Portugal.
Yeah. Although that does seem like an excuse.
I reckon we should all go and rent it out for a weekend and do a Geekly from Portugal.
Seems like an excuse for a trip to Portugal. I'm okay with that.
Totally.
Let's make that happen. Now, while Catherine and I go and extend the Geekly budget quite significantly.
magically.
After this next request, we will be playing Game of Geeks internationally. Magically.
Then I've got some questions all lined up for you.
Exciting.
Excellent.
Any clues as to what they might be about? Are they going to be like surprise Hawaiian questions?
I do have two surprise Hawaiian questions in there for you.
Well, I look forward to losing in both of those rounds. And after that, we will be finding out once and for all whether you, the listeners, would fund live-action Pac-Man. But now, here's another song requested by Mysterious Lurker in the chat room, who is now Mysterious Elaine, who also says there's a Mario-themed metro station in Stockholm in Sweden.
Wow.
Which is quite exciting. But this song was requested just by typing in doop doop. So here's what happens if you type that into Spotify.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Which came first, the Geekly or the egg? The egg, obviously, you fool.
The doop doop song or whatever. I this is not something I was aware of, but Catherine says she recognises it.
Yeah, so, I remember it on Top of the Pops.
This is clearly
kind of mid-90s.
Clearly one that may have passed me by, regrettably.
I is old. I don't think you were born.
Gosh.
Presenter versus presenter. Geek versus geek. It's a showdown of... Well, it's a showdown. It's Game of Geeks.
Yes, it is. Game of Geeks time. That's rather exciting. Now, for this Game of Geeks, of course, Kez is the quiz master and will be joining us live from Hawaii, hopefully, if we've still got you. Hello.
Okay.
Okay, so the idea of this segment...
I'm still here.
Good.
Yes.
It automatically muted me for some reason when I wasn't talking for a while.
Oh, well, that's useful of it.
I have to keep an eye on that.
But yes, in true Game of Geek style, Kez will be asking us questions with three clues, and the earlier we buzz in, the more points we get. Now, I'm barely prepared for this, as I was saying, because I'm meant to be the quizmaster these days.
Oh, it's just a lot easier for the person that's not in the country to ask the questions, because then, you know, it's a bit less time delayed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Game of Geeks used to be in series past, really. With me answering questions.
Yeah, and I suppose it's never been me answering questions.
That's true.
That one other time that...
With the minor caveat that this time around, Kez can't thoroughly trounce me.
No, I'll be the one doing the trouncing.
Indeed you will.
Should we play the game?
Oh, that's the closest I think we've ever come to smack talk on the game.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to trounce you so hard. Anyway.
Okay.
<I'm really> not.
Right then. Well, let's get on with the quiz. And as ever, any successful quiz will require buzzers. So this week I go...
Nice.
Pac-Man, yeah.
And I'll go...
It's apparently eating a cherry, I'm told. But, yeah.
What noise do you make when you eat a cherry?
Well, I don't...
Obviously.
Yeah, well, clearly. I don't really like cherries, so it's sort of a... But...
I'm more of an ooh.
Okay.
I'm more of a ooh.
Okay. Shall we get to the quiz?
Shall we?
Yes.
Are you ready for your first question?
More or less. Fingers are on buzzers.
More or less. Which is it, more or less?
Mostly less.
Mostly less, but, but go on anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So your first question is a film.
Film?
Now, okay.
This film has currently had... 5 different incarnations, not sequels, just 5 different incarnations, with a 6th planned for 2019.
Ooh. Interesting.
Oh.
I feel like I know this one, but I don't know this one.
I should know this one, but I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the same opinion. I think we're going to need another clue, because neither of us have got it.
Okay, it's last... The years in which there were installments of this particular film franchise started back in 1953, then 1960, 2003, 2014, 2015, and soon to be 2019.
1953? That's going back quite a way.
Yeah, I mean...
Back when you were just little, Chris.
Indeed.
Back when. I think there's several glimmers in eyes back through the generations.
Yes, that was before my parents were born.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
And we as old.
as we have established. I've no idea.
Still stumped.
Still stumped.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we're going to need clue number 3.
Okay, clue number 3. There is a real hook to this particular film. And critics panned it.
Is it Peter Pan?
It is.
It's the crack puns are always a good
buzzer.
Help. Yes,
I thought I'd have the puns for the final one.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. Point. I got a point.
Now, there have been a lot of Peter Pan films, but none of them have been sequels.
Ah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no,
people just love the story so much, they seem to keep redoing
it.
The same one. They are flogging that dead horse.
Indeed they are.
Okay.
Zombie horse.
Now, second question, and this is, to give you a bit of a helping hand here, this is a Hawaiian-themed question.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. I don't know anything about Hawaii.
Now, this is something that is traditionally found in this part of the world, and it takes 3 years for a single one of these to reach maturation.
Things in Hawaii.
And it's something that grows. It takes 3 years for it to reach maturation.
I wish I could Google right now.
Yeah, that would give it away.
No Googling.
Yeah, I know, right?
it would make a lot of quiz shows more efficient if you could just Google the answer. Like, yep, there it is. Moving on. But no, I have no idea.
No, let's have another clue.
Okay, you want another clue.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We do.
Once harvested...
harvested.
These do not ripen.
Hmm.
I'm just going to have a guess and say... It's between two things. I don't know which to pick.
Pick one of them and then I'll buzz in and say the other one.
Pick left or right, Chris.
Left.
Coconut.
Is not the right answer.
Okay.
Oh.
Do you need the last clue?
I'm going to try a guess.
Go on.
I'm going to go with... I have no idea if these even happen in Hawaii, but I'm going to go with pineapple.
Is the right answer.
Oh, damn it. Oh! That was my other answer.
Yeah.
Pineapples were in fact native to and first discovered in Hawaii. Coconuts do not grow here.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about either of them. Like, you know, do they even grow there? I suppose when I think of Hawaii, I think of... Like...
My final clue to you would have been if you'd never seen one, it'd look like a pine cone to you. Because that's what they were named after.
I see.
Okay.
2 points to me. I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
All right. Our third question. This one is related to a book or a series of books.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Clue number one. The very last three words in this series of books is "All was well."
Oh.
Oh, it's between two things.
Well, you say one of them.
The Hunger Games?
Is not the right answer.
No.
All is rarely well at the end of a Hunger Games book.
Yes.
Well, I thought of the end of the very last book, you know.
Everything's still terrible.
No. Yeah.
Do you need the next clue?
I think I'm going to need the next clue. I can't think of something.
Yeah, go on, clue us again.
Okay. You ready for the next clue?
That's my other thing.
I was born ready.
The very first line of the very first book features two of the main characters who were very proud to say that they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much.
Harry Potter.
Is the correct answer.
Oh, jeez. Of course.
My last clue was going to be there are seven of them.
Yeah.
And if you still couldn't get it, I would have just gone, it's Leviosa. Yeah.
There's a certain point when the questions are just sort of handing
Leviosa.
It to me.
It's Leviosa.
It's Leviosa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Are you ready for your next question?
Well, that makes it 2 points to Catherine. So, yes, next question.
Okay, this is another bonus Hawaii question.
Ooh, oh, no. Bonus Hawaii.
Yeah. I've got two more questions. One of them's about a TV show, but this one is another Hawaiian question.
Okay.
Hit us with your best shot. That's not a
guess. This thing was first created in Hawaii in 1879.
Oh, 1879. What things were invented in 1879? Well, I don't know.
No.
Next clue.
This thing was most commonly linked in the mid-20th century to a certain George Formby Jr.
Oh, they play the ukulele in
Yes,
Hawaii.
Is the correct answer.
Yes.
A ukulele.
The ukulele is such an important part of Hawaiian culture here that in the lobby of my hotel, there is a Starbucks, but next to it, three times the size, is a ukulele shop.
Wow.
Gosh.
I may buy one and bring it back with me, just for the sake of it.
Just so George Formby.
The ukulele shop almost directly below me.
Wow.
Ooh.
Well, there we go.
Does that put me to 1 point in the lead?
2 points to Catherine. You are 1 point in the lead as we go into the final question.
Okay, the final question. This relates to a television series.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
This popular and award-winning TV series has run for two seasons. The second season is currently still airing.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I'm doubting myself now. I'm gonna go for Hunted.
is not the right answer.
Damn, because that's the only thing I'm aware of that is currently in the second series.
I'm going to have a guess as well, because I might as well, because I accidentally watched some of it yesterday. The Missing.
Is not the right answer.
Okay,
right.
Ooh.
Okay,
yes,
your second clue.
Mm-hmm.
This television series is set in New York City.
Okay.
Oh.
New York City.
What have I just seen? What have I just seen something about that was something to do with New York?
Oh. I don't know. I feel like... Oh. Jeez.
Obviously, no. Loads of stuff is set in New York, but...
Yeah, I think
series.
We need the next clue.
Okay. The main character in the series, who the actor which portrayed this has won awards for his portrayal, but this main series follows a young man who works at a cyber security company called AllSafe. Go ahead.
This is a show I have reviewed on our other show, Teleblob, and this is a show I despise. Mr. Robot.
Is the correct answer.
I can't believe that
Which
just won
means
me a
that
point.
We are tied, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
I think we are.
So.
All right, I'm going to need to do some quick Googling.
This is the point in Game
or
of
I
Geeks.
I suppose, as this can't really count, this could just be a friendly.
She says, hoping that I won't trounce her at the.
Okay. I've got a backup question, but it's Hawaii related.
I'm okay.
Oh,
with
go on then.
Okay.
This is what we call the Wikipedia round, where we haven't got. Yeah.
Hawaii, as I've said before, is very far away from continental US. It was a US territory and an army base, and it was made a state just kind of after the Second World War. Actually, it was in the 60s that it was made a state. So it's quite a new state. But Hawaii is the only United State, or well, yeah, US state, that can grow what?
Pineapples.
Go ahead. Is not the right answer. Pineapples can also grow in Florida.
Well, it was worth a guess.
Catherine, would you like to have a guess at this one?
Dates.
Dates.
I have no idea.
We can grow dates in England.
Yeah, but does it mean that, I don't know, there's not like some kind of, I don't know.
Eloquently put as ever.
Okay, hang on, I'm scanning through.
To get us a new clue to the thing.
Yeah. Oh dear. I love how you totally had a tiebreaker question prepared.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I had a tiebreaker question prepared. Neither of you got it. Okay. Okay. There is a certain kind of nut that is grown in Hawaii that is produced more here than anywhere else. Can you guess which type of nut?
This is a complete guess. Macadamia.
Is the right answer.
Oh, yes. I have no idea where that came from. That's not even...
My favourite types of nut. White chocolate and macadamia nut cookies, one of my favourites.
I genuinely don't think I've ever eaten one.
Oh, they're lovely. But that does mean, Chris, that you've just edged ahead.
Indeed. And that means at the end of the quiz that...
Against all odds, this week's winner is...
Yes, thanks, we're not quite sure how it happened either.
Indeed.
It's worth pointing out that you were very, very even in that one, and it was only by guessing some complete random stuff that I found by Googling Hawaiian facts that I was able to get that. So,
Kez, that's my party trick.
Chris, on your narrow win. Incidentally, Hawaii is the only state that can grow coffee.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yep, I've just, now that I'm allowed to look at the chat room again, because you people try and help us, I can see Elaine did get the coffee question, so well done. We've had a few things. There's a woman born in Hawaii in 1879 that Elaine also thought was the thing that was produced in. Yeah.
Okay. Interestingly enough, there are lots of people here that I've spoken to that remember Hawaii before it was a state. Hawaii actually has one of the longest life expectancies in the world as well, which people that I've spoken to put down to lots of happiness, lots of fish, and generally not caring about anything that would stress them out. So it's a very stress-free lifestyle over here. Like I said, I think we should move.
That seems like a pretty great attitude to life, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, totally.
Well, thank you very much for that international game of geeks. And enjoy Hawaii. Coming up after this, we will be joined by Beth McClure-Webster from Eggheads, and we'll be talking to some Star Trek fans that you and Kez, Catherine, met at the Destination Star Trek Europe event last weekend.
Yeah, that was a great time.
I'm very excited about that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to hear that back. So before we play the next request, here's just a reminder to keep listening for that winning word.
This week's winning word is Cyclops. It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like a boiled egg, only the soldiers are geeks and the egg is a studio and, ooh, now I'm hungry.
And now we are joined on the show by a very special guest. She is a brand new egghead on the BBC quiz show. It's Beth McClure-Webster. Hello.
Hello, Chris. Hi. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you on the show. So, first and foremost, as I said, you're an egghead, but could you explain what that is for our listeners that are outside the UK?
Okay, so Eggheads is a quiz show that's been going for about 12, 14 years now, and it's we're a team of five people, you know, normal, everyday people who know each other in everyday life, be them from the same club or same quiz league or do something of similar nature, and they try and beat the eggheads at quiz to win some money.
So what qualifies an egghead to be an egghead?
Oh, so the eggheads have all won either multiple shows. So Daphne, who is our retired egghead now, she was on loads and loads of quiz shows back in the 70s and 80s. We have Pat Gibson, who is one of the million, who wants to be a millionaires. Him and Judith also won £1 million. We've got multiple European, world and British quiz champion in both Pat Gibson and Kevin Ashman. And then you have me, who just won a quiz show to become an egghead.
Which was very impressive.
Yes. it was quite hard fought. There was a ladies competition and a men's competition because they needed one of each and you one of each, and I was lucky enough to win the women's competition.
They were some grueling episodes, I think.
They were, yeah. Watching them back was grueling as well. I was still looking through my fingers on the sofa.
Now you've been on TV as an egghead for a few weeks. Are people starting to recognise you when you're out and about?
Oh, not as yet. No, I had a brief double take in Tesco's, which I was there with one of my children, looking rather harassed, trying to weigh bananas. But other than that, I was recognised by a parent at my son's beaver colony when she said, "Can I ask you a really weird question?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Did I see you on TV?" Well, yes, you did. Yes, you did. But that was it. And I vaguely knew her anyway, so it's not really recognised by a stranger. Not been stopped in the street yet.
One thing I've always wondered, because obviously we see him on Eggheads and kind of hear him on the radio. What is Jeremy Vine really like? Can you spill any beans?
Jeremy is a really, really nice man. He's, as you expect, exceptionally tall. So I'm not very tall myself, so I was like always having to look up to him. He really interested in what everybody has got to say, whether if you're an egghead or if you're one of the other contestants. He's interested in everything else you can put around an answer, and he's always making little notes and jotting on pieces of paper. He's such a lovely man.
So other than eggheads, what's your favourite TV quiz show?
Well, there's recently been a debate about what my favourite quiz show is, or whether it's actually a quiz or whether it's a game show. That's Only Connect.
Ah.
You a fan?
Yes, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I love Only Connect. I was lucky to be on season 5, I think.
Mm.
It gets all your synapses going and making the links of,
yes.
Of trying to get the connection through the seemingly random clues, as Victoria Coren Mitchell says.
So do you have to kind of sign over your right to go on any more quiz shows when you become an egghead?
Yeah, you kind of do. It's so I luckily enough, I got all the ones in I really wanted to do before I managed to become an egghead.
So what first got you into quizzing? What was the catalyst to start it all off?
Oh, I don't know. I've been interested in facts since I can remember. I was one of those children that used to read the Guinness Book of Records for pleasure at about age 10. Used to go to quizzes with my parents at school. I kind of sort of left it behind when I was at university and went into did some music instead. But after I left there and they brought Mastermind back to the telly, I thought, you know, I've always wanted to go on that. And so when it came back onto telly, it's like, right, it's now my chance. And I managed to get on in 2004 and just carried on since then.
So do you ever find yourself revising?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, there are list learners in quiz. I'm not one of those people. I cannot sit down and read a list of things and remember it automatically. I have to have some other tag, some other relationship with the fact. So I can relate a piece of music to a particular time in my life that will link it to a year. And things like that. So if I'm playing Pop Master, it's another quiz I really love to play. I say Radio 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I have my radio set to it to come on at 10:15 so that I don't miss it.
Yeah. So they always have a in what year were these, depending on how I've made the link in my brain, I can get to what I was doing when those songs were playing, so I knew what sort of time of year it was. So I need a specific link to my facts. But you can revise. I mean, it is a lot of reading, and I remember things better if I write it down rather than if I just read it.
You've told us a bit about how you got started quizzing. Do you have a proudest moment in your quizzing history?
Oh, well, that will have to be winning Make Me an Egghead, really. It was the first show I'd ever won. I've been on loads of shows, never won any of them, never won a single penny from quizzing. Oh, I did win a pointless trophy.
Oh, I'm very jealous of that.
Oh, are you? Oh, it's proudly on my mantelpiece, and my son, every time he sees it on the telly, goes, "Mum, you've got one of those." It's like, yes, I have.
I've seen Pointless recorded a couple of times, and I'm always surprised at the size of the trophy. It's so much smaller than I expect it to be, but it's very cute.
It's very weighty as well. So other than that, sort of, Make Me an Egghead is the first one I won. Happens to be the best one because it gives me a career in quiz. What could be better?
So as you have a career in quiz, as a quizzer and now an egghead, it's sort of your job to know a bit about everything, right?
Yeah, I know sort of jack of all trades, master of none type philosophy. I know a little bit about a lot of things, and I constantly surprise my other team, quiz team, with coming out with like boxing weights and other random things. They sort of like look at me and go, how do you know that? You just pick up things here and there, and I do have my weak spots, history and geography. So if any potential egghead competitors are listening to your show, they'll know to pick me against history and geography.
With that in mind, we have a few topical questions for you. It's World Egg Day today. Can you tell us anything interesting about eggs that most people don't know?
Well, mine's more about an egg producing animal rather than the egg itself. Mm-hmm. I hope that's all right. My egg fact is about the egg-laying mammals, so the monotremes, like duck-billed platypus and echidnas. So they lay eggs, but are also able to produce milk to suckle their young, and are therefore able to make their own custard.
Wow.
I had never thought about it that way.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense when you think about it, doesn't it?
Once and for all, can you clear up that annoying chicken and egg question? Which really did come first?
Well, in my opinion, dinosaurs laid eggs. And dinosaurs, even though they are related to birds, are not birds. So they are able to lay eggs. They are not birds. Therefore, the egg came first.
Mm. There you go.
I think that would probably
heard it here first.
Yeah. Be my theory on it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I'm glad we've cleared
like
that one up.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
Excellent.
It's been 950 years since the Battle of Hastings. We learn all about things like the Battle of Hastings in school, but are there any things that you can think of that we learn in school that maybe aren't quite true?
That's interesting.
Well, my thing about this one is a bit of a re-evaluation of what we were taught in school. So I did a little straw poll in my office, and we were all taught that camel's humps store water. Is that what you were taught at school as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Camel's humps don't store water. They store fat. So, and then they break down the fat to get the energy. So it's not something we didn't learn, but something we should have learnt, probably.
Now, this week, I'm asking all of these questions to you from Hawaii. What should I definitely check out while I'm here?
So I'm interested in astronomy. So the place I would go would be the Mauna Kea Observatory. It's one of the only places you can drive to from sea level up to 14,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
But you have to stop off halfway up about 9,000 feet to get acclimatised, and that's where the public observatories are, and you can use the telescopes, and they have a daily public viewing session that you can do. But you can drive all the way up to the scientific observatories as well.
Oh, that's really cool. I had no idea.
Kez, go check that out.
I'd love to go. Yeah.
So, finally, two things. Number one, what advice would you give to someone that is looking to get into quizzing?
Oh, well, I don't expect to make any money out of it. Just keep practicing, really. Do quizzes as much as you can. I do general knowledge crosswords and read lots. Include things that you're not really that interested in. So I know I'm not very good at history and geography, so therefore the things I really need to read up on, but they're not the things that interest me. You've still got to do it. Come to quiz events. So there's lots of quiz events you can go to around Great Britain and North America as well. Join quiz leagues. London has a good one. Bolton, Manchester, Liverpool, they've all got quiz leagues. There's also some online quizzes you can join that run in a league format. So there's the Learned League in the US, and there's a 2020 quiz in the UK. There's pub quizzes. Just quiz as much as you can, and you're bound to get better somewhere online.
And if anyone listening fancies themselves as either an egghead competitor or an egghead, how can they kind of square off against you?
Oh, well, we've been calling for new contestants, so I'm sure that you'll be able to find a flyer on Twitter, or if I send it to Geeky Chronicles, they can repost the flyer as well. We're always looking for contestants to come on and give us a go, as it were. So you'll need five more friends. So it's five in the team and one spare, just in case.
Mm.
Just give it a go.
Best of luck to everyone that applies, and you know, happy quizzing. Finally, Beth, we ask all of our guests if they have a request that they would like for us to play. So do you have a song for us?
Well, I should go for something that my husband and I played during our wedding ceremony. We walked down the aisle to ELO's Mr. Blue Sky. So I'd like that, please. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, lovely.
Well, thank you very much, Beth, for joining us.
Yeah, congratulations on your new egghead status. And thank you so much for joining us. It's been lots of fun.
Oh, thank you. It was fun, yeah.
Yeah. And here's the song.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. Geeks to the left of you, geeks to the right of you, geeks right in front of you. Into the valley of radio rode the brave Chronicles. Damn it, Jim, we're presenters, not doctors.
As you may have heard me mention a few times on this show already, I'm in Hawaii enjoying some sun, sea, and quite a lot of sushi, to be honest with you. But last weekend, mere hours before I boarded my flight, Catherine and I went to a very special birthday party. This year, Star Trek turns 50 years old, and last weekend, in Birmingham, the cast and crew of 6 television series and 13 films came together to celebrate the occasion with fans from across Europe. Now, Catherine and I have been big fans of Star Trek for as long as either of us can remember, but we were curious, what brought people to Star Trek, and what does it really mean to them?
My name is Tom.
Melissa.
Tim. So you are a Star Trek family, is that right?
Correct, yeah. So I'm here, Tom, I'm here with my fiancée Melissa and my soon-to-be father-in-law as of next year. We're not having a Star Trek wedding, just so you know. but it will be themed. So yeah, we are, yeah, Star Trek family.
How long have you been into Star Trek for?
Not as long as these guys. I think because I met Liz about nearly 10 years ago now. And when she first met me, she said, oh, just to warn you, my dad's a bit of a fan of Star Trek. And I got home and it was just everywhere. No, no, no. He's not too bad. But I think slowly over the years, he's sort of shown me more and more of it. And I've got into it.
What was it like growing up with a Trekkie for a dad?
Well, I just remember we just have it on every evening. We just watch it. So I just remember watching Generation first, growing up with that. And then sort of seeing Voyager after that. So.
My name is Laurie Beth Bisbee.
My name is Gabriel Dongi.
My name is Terence Scott.
What got you into Star Trek?
I just enjoyed the series, the original series, which was what they first introduced me to, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we
watched
that
it from the beginning.
That and he's a science geek.
Yeah.
Yes.
Always have.
I watched the reruns because I've always loved all of the series.
And it wasn't just older families either. Some fans attending the celebration weren't even alive when there was last Star Trek being made for television. What brought them there?
My name's Will. I'm 12.
So what got you into Star Trek?
Well, when I was a lot younger, probably about 6 or 7, it was on like replays on TV, and I would just watch it. And then when I was about 11 or 10, I started watching all the episodes in order, and I really got into it. Yeah, I don't think it's hard to get into Star Trek. For me, it was really easy, because I just think it's amazing. So yeah. I think it's the deeper message behind it, yeah. It's really cooks good morals and stuff like that.
My name's Jack. I don't know, I just love the actual stories and the plots of it. I just really enjoy it. I think it's actually helping people in the world in some places. That's me.
People don't just come to pay their respects at an event like this. The cosplay game here was very strong. For those not in the know, cosplay is like extreme dressing up, where people create amazing outfits that match their fandom to a T. Pun intended.
We're here with
Apollo Cosplay, alias, my actual name is Phoebe Wills-Bergeron.
You're here as Spock. Why Spock today?
I honestly think that he made the series. When you think about the original series, you often think about Kirk being the captain, and he's obviously the main character, but his relationship with Spock defines the program.
Do you do other Star Trek-related cosplays?
No, this is my first Star Trek cosplay, but in the last year I've started cosplaying on a more professional level, and I also make props, so I thought that this year, this Star Trek con, I would make a cosplay and wear it to him.
What got you into cosplaying?
It was actually Tom Hiddleston and his Loki character from Marvel, just because he's such an insane character with a lot of depth, and his costume was amazing, so I made that. And then, from then on, there was no hope for me. I just had to keep going.
I'm dressed as the Borg from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Why the Borg?
I just think they're badass.
What made you think of doing cosplay?
Well, it actually started last year when I went to MCM Manchester Comic Con. I just started playing Kingdom Hearts 2, and then I just thought about going to Sora, and, well, started from there.
And as this is radio, what have you come dressed as today?
I am operations. I'm a tactical officer.
How about yourself?
Operations and a scientist.
I'm Spock from the Voyage Home, I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
How much work actually went into it? What did you have to do to make this?
Well, mostly I bought the actual armor, but then I got like tons of wires and then just chopped them up into pieces.
There was going to be an eyepiece, but it fell apart and ended up getting covered in blood.
Blood?
Yes.
Oh, it's an authentic eyepiece.
Yes. So quite literally blood, sweat and tears have gone into this costume.
I'm not cosplaying a specific person, but I'm imagining that I am from Deep Space Nine. I am one of the crew members. I am Commander. So.
But has Star Trek really had that big an impact on the world?
I don't know. I think it's just something that could happen in the not too distant future. Then you get the mobile phones come after it. It seems everything they're doing seems to be coming true.
Yeah, it makes you think about the future, and it's kind of like, oh, is that what it's going to be like?
It inspires so much. And mobile phones have come from Star Trek. You know, iPads have come from Star Trek. I'm sure, anyway.
Star Trek is not about like the action and the battles and stuff like that. It's about the deeper message behind it. And don't just judge it by its cover. Don't just think, oh, Star Trek's just for nerds and stuff like that.
Star Trek, for me, is all about the diversity. You can see it from the moment you set eyes on the bridge. You've got so many different people from different backgrounds, like first interracial kiss on TV. And there's a huge satisfaction knowing that the production company of Star Trek had to fight to keep it on air. And there's a lot of hope for that. If people can keep fighting for new equality, new diversity, then there's some hope for us later on.
I just, as I always say, I went through bullying through my life, and as I always just say, they may say what they like to me, but really, insult to injury, I've just grown used to, like, people don't really, I've just grown not to care about what people have to say now. It's like, I like this, and I don't care if other people don't. It's everyone's choice.
Gene Roddenberry had a dream about how he wanted the future to go. We have the potential to go there. It's always that possibility that looms just over the hill. All we have to do is take those steps, and it's possible. Star Trek holds out the possibility that we can be better.
Well, as we celebrate 50 years of Star Trek, it's obvious now more than ever that life really can imitate art. The world we live in might just be a little better as a result of Gene Roddenberry's amazing vision. From flip phones to medical scanners to the very idea that world peace could exist in our lifetimes, I don't think I've ever been more proud to call myself a Trekkie. Live from the side of an active volcano in Hawaii, this is Kez Guyon asking you all to live long and prosper.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
We don't want your money, but if we did, we'd spend it on stuff like this. It's Would You Fund It?
Do you love Pac-Man? Do you feel restricted by your screen? Do you wish you could be more round and yellow?
It sure gets lonely playing Pac-Man all day.
Join us in our 32,000 square foot immersive real-life Pac-Man experience where you can collect balls, run from ghosts, and wear a skin-tight yellow unitard with up to 7 friends.
I feel like a yellow ninja sneaking around this maze.
Be pursued by our real-life Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Clyde as you charge around our maze collecting pack dots in your pack.
You should have seen that ghost face when I slapped a cherry on it.
Play Pac-Man for real. Get your tickets on our website now.
Vote now at gkly.co/fundit. It's time for this week's Tumble Fumble. Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
Am I ever? Catherine, what, you've been truffling through the vast forests of the internet this week? What have you found?
Okay, so I've got the usual 3 things for you. The first thing is Star Trek related, which feels kind of appropriate.
Yep.
So this is a site called chiefobrianatwork.com.
Okay.
It's the Tumblr blog format. Somebody's just obviously, using a domain. So you just have to go to chiefobrianatwork.com.
I see, yeah.
And it's a comic strip And essentially, it's all about Chief O'Brien in his transporter room, which I know probably won't mean too much to you, Chris, but in Star Trek The Next Generation, Chief O'Brien is really the transporter chief. So he just operates the transporter in a little transporter room.
Right.
So you kind of imagine that when he's not beaming someone down or beaming someone up...
The two options
of beaming. It must get kind of lonely and a little dull in the transporter room. So this is all his thoughts and woes and little conversations with the computer. Go and have a look if you're a fan of dull jobs, should we say? Space travel and ennui.
Interesting combination.
Not too much I can tell you about. You know, it's very visual. So just go check it out.
Alrighty then.
You're a Star Trek fan.
ChiefO'Brien@work.com.
Indeed.
What's the next thing?
All Tumblr things this week, which is kind of rare. But,
appropriate for a Tumble Fumble, really.
I know, right? It's almost like we planned it.
Yeah.
So...
As if we planned this.
I know. So the next thing is a Tumblr called Two Kinds of People.
Right.
So it's the number two, kindsofpeople.tumblr.com.
Okay.
And this is just a little blog with illustrations of two different things. And, you know, you either fall into one camp or the other, probably.
You
know,
I see
like
that.
The way that you eat, you know, corn on the cob, for example. Whether or not you play Pokemon Go, you know, you either do or you don't.
Whether you put syrup and butter on your pancakes or not.
Or not, yeah. Whether you chew your pencils or not.
Yeah.
Whether you drink sparkling water or still water. Mm. Obviously, there's people that, you know, don't really like drinking water at all. But, you know, if you had to, which would you pick? Do you go full screen when you watch YouTube videos or not? You know, that kind of thing. It's quite interesting. And some of them take me a second to get what it's going for with the little illustration. But, so I find it's quite fascinating. I sort of thought, this blog isn't there. But I ended up scrolling for ages just looking at all these different pictures. So it's quite kind of addictive. Yeah, the number two kinds of people .tumblr.com. And the third thing I found kind of by accident, really. This is a little webcomic called Blazers at Dawn.
Right.
So it's blazers@dawn.tumblr.com. I will tweet links to all of these in the moments following the fumble.
Yeah. Post-fumble moments.
So in amongst these kind of day-to-day life observation webcomic bits, there's also little comics of Wolverine versus Cyclops from X-Men.
Right.
And they're really funny. So obviously you can kind of filter on the X-Men tag and just look at those comics if you want to. But actually just the day-to-day life observation ones are really great as well. So this is another one of those blogs that I just spent ages scrolling through. that's blazersatdawn.tumblr.com for your fix of Wolverine versus Cyclops.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I like this. I'm gonna have to read all of these.
Yeah, I particularly like the most recent little webcomic. I like that one.
Yes.
It's very cute. Yeah, go have a look. Again, webcomics, all visual. So not great for radio. So just go check them out if they sound good to you.
Well,
and I'll get tweeting those links.
Indeed. Thank you, Catherine. That was most informative and interesting, and well done on having them all as tumblers, as does occasionally happen. As you said, you can see highlights of everything Catherine has discovered on Twitter at GKLYCO, and in a moment we will be opening a very special package. But for now, here is a request that we are playing for Misty.
The Geekly Chronicles. Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Now, we have a package.
We do have a package. It's a rather exciting package.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the box, Catherine?
Well, this is a package that we've ordered from Terence Eden's Cool Stuff for £5 and Under blog at fiverfun.tumblr.com. I've kind of featured that on the Fumble last week, and we spoke to Terence. So if you missed that, you can go catch up. That was a brilliant chat that we had, and it's a very fun blog. He posts kind of cool stuff that you can buy for under £5.
Prosaic, really.
If you say so. I am enjoying saying package a lot for this feature.
Yes. Well, last time it was Tetris magnets, as we said earlier, but this week we've no idea what's in this package.
Nope, mystery package in my hands. So let's open it and see what we got.
Yeah, open that up. You can tell this is happening because you can hear the tearing.
Oh, what have I got? I have got... Oh, a tea sub tea infuser.
Oh, that's a little yellow submarine.
Yellow submarine that you fill with tea.
Oh,
it's
that's
so adorable. I want it. Okay, yeah, this is going to be a problem I can sense with this feature that I'm just going to want all the things.
Well, now we know what they are. You can buy more of all of the things. Ooh, they are pretty cheap.
Sorry, that was me like headbutting the microphone.
And nicely done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, a little yellow submarine that you can infuse tea in.
Oh,
I love that. So cute. Yeah. Don't forget that you'll win the mystery item in our winning words competition as well, as well as the Geekly prizes that we've already told you about. So, so get those calls in if you hear the word or if you've already heard it. After this next song, we'll be looking at the results from Would You Fund It and finding out once and for all whether or not live action Pac-Man is, you know, worth a fund. Here's the Divine Comedy.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
Indeed it is. We are rapidly approaching the end of the show.
Oh.
Lines will close for the winning word competition at 9:05, which by my estimation is in about 2 minutes. So if you think you heard the word, get those calls in now.
It's like everyone's crowdfunding these days, isn't it?
It is. We're not. We are fake crowdfunding. But the thing we have been fake crowdfunding today is the live-action Pac-Man experience, where you don your yellow unitard and race around a maze and get tackled by ghosts.
I think it was the yellow unitard that was selling it to me.
Yeah, definitely. But let's have a look at the results for Would You Fund It? So we've been asking you throughout the show on our website and on Twitter whether or not you would fund it. And it seems like with 64% of the vote, you would not fund the Pac-Man live action extravaganza.
I am quite surprised by that.
Yeah.
I thought this was a funder.
I thought this was a funder, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But fair enough. The listeners have spoken. And they have deemed it not to be...
fundable.
Fundworthy. Fair enough.
But a bat with Rick Astley's face on it, that's right up their street.
Yeah, clearly. We're beginning to find out more and more about our listeners as time goes on. So, Well, that's next
that
time.
Result.
Yeah. I'm slightly disappointed, I'll be honest. Next time, it will be Kez's turn to pitch once Kez is back from Hawaii, excitingly. So, we'll see what happens next time. But right now, you're in the lead with one funded thing.
One whole thing.
I know.
Yeah.
And it was 100%er. What a way to start a series.
I rule. Yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Mathematically speaking, yes, you do.
I'm always speaking mathematically.
All the best people are.
It's like Fox News, only we never promised factual accuracy.
Indeed. So, lines have now closed for the winning words competition. Please do not call, as you will not be put through, but you may still be charged. Nobody got it.
No.
I think we were too sneaky with this one.
Yeah, perhaps we were.
Yes. Just a reminder of what the word was.
This week's winning word is Cyclops.
Cyclops. Mm. And we said it when?
During the Tumble Fumble.
Yes.
Yep.
When we were looking at the Wolverine and Cyclops comic.
Indeed.
We said Cyclops twice, I seem to remember.
But... So I have my little... tea sub, tea infuser.
Yes.
I'm guessing I'm not allowed to keep it.
No, you do not get to keep it. I mean, we can probably buy you another one as you like it so much. But that prize will roll over to next episode's
So it'll be a double £5 thing prizer
yes.
next episode.
The prize value for next episode will be at least £10.
Well, up to £10.
Well, up to 10, yeah.
Not at least.
That wasn't
up
£5.
To.
Pounds. up to 10 whole pounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
So do join us again for our next show, which will be on the 28th of October, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Where we will be doing Winning Words again. And of course, we'll have all your usual favourites as well.
Mm-hmm. So thank you to our wonderful guest, Beth McClure-Webster, who joined us to chat about all things quizzing.
Yes, that was a wonderful interview. Thank you for joining us. And we have tweeted the flyer to take part in Eggheads if that's something that tickles your fancy. Thanks also to everyone who sent in requests, tweeted us, took part in the chat room, and generally got involved with the show. And thanks also to Kez for joining us live all the way from Hawaii.
Indeed. And as Chris has already said, we'll be back with episode 3 in a couple of weeks on the 28th of October with, you know, all your usual favourite features, another £5 thing, another awesome guest, and Kez will be back.
Yes. Hooray. I'll not be in the scary chair next time. I am currently...
That chair is a little terrifying.
Yes. Not only is this the producer's chair, so I have control over the entire show right now, but also the chair itself is quite big and looming. So I feel like it's quite apt, really, that the producer should sit in a big, scary chair. But it's quite a daunting experience to...
sit in
take
it.
Up the role. I was trying to come up with a new way of saying sit in it without being rude, but I just couldn't.
What's rude about sitting in it?
Well, nothing's rude about sitting in it. The ways I was going to say sitting in it are a bit more non-broadcast friendly.
Oh, okay. My brain hadn't gone there for once.
Indeed. I'm surprised.
Who am I and what have I done with me?
Yes, definitely. Oh, wow. I can't believe we got to the end of the show. We survived.
We did.
And yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle. We're not allowed to talk about Christmas yet. Elaine wonders if this chair doubles up as an industrial loom. As I said, it was looming.
Possibly.
So, quite possibly. I mean,
I've never tried.
Yeah. We have no evidence to the contrary. So it may well do. But yeah. Thank you for joining us for the show. It's been very, very fun. Slightly disappointed by Pac-Man, but it's been a generally good one so far. The prize will roll over, so all that remains for us now is to say that from me, Chris.
From me, Catherine.
And from Kez, all the way in sunny Hawaii.
It's goodbye.
Goodbye. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is a Tiny Kettle production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper, wear sunscreen.